Many times you are frustrated because you see injustice. You see dishonest people getting richer and richer while you are trying to be honest and nothing seems to be going for your life. Live for eternity now means you must believe that God is the ultimate judge. Everybody, what's the topic today? Live for eternity now. All right, let's tackle the first word, eternity. How long is eternity? You know, I tried to research and I'm reminded of a story I heard years ago when I was a young Christian. It's about a Maya bird. Have you seen a Maya bird? Now, I want you to imagine the Philippines is famous for Maya birds. Imagine a Maya bird that will gulp a beak full of water in the Quezon province, Pacific Ocean, and that Maya bird will fly. Fly to Luneta and spit out the water. And then the bird will fly again, all the way to the Pacific Ocean, Quezon province, and scoop the water. Fly again. And then when it reaches Luneta, what will it do? Spit water. Then fly again. Are you getting bored? Now, after the ocean is dry, that is the first day of eternity. Is eternity a long time? I think it's unimaginable. And that's why I tell people, live for eternity now. Meaning you need to learn to connect. 1 Corinthians 15, I will highlight three realities of eternity. Number one, everybody read, life after death. Meaning death is not final. Therefore, what must you do? You live wisely. Make good choices. Don't mess it up because it impacts the future. Number two, the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus will ultimately reign. That's for sure. So what do you do now? Better recognize Him as your Lord. Live to please Him. And lastly, you have an amazing future. Glorious future. This world is messed up. But don't worry. We have an amazing future. And what must you do? You got to live with hope. Luke chapter 12 tells us how to live for eternity now. Jesus tells us an amazing story of a rich man. He was so successful, like many of you, and he decided, man, I have reached the top, so I will now retire. How many of you like the word retire? It depends. If you have money, nice to retire. If you don't have money, you cannot retire. Now, this guy, look, he said, I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Wow! The guy is so successful, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Is that not the desire of almost everybody you know of? Why are you working hard? Isn't it one day you are hoping? What will you do? Everybody read. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry. Wow. Is that your desire? Let's continue. The great amazing conjunction. Again, but, yun ang problema. But, God said, you fool. You know, in the Bible, the word fool has many origins. One of them is moron, stupid. You are really stupid. You know, for God to call me stupid, that is really scary. And God is telling you right now, don't be stupid. Why? This very night, your soul is required of you. Who will now own what you have prepared? Think about it. When you die, what do you leave behind? Everybody is working hard for material goods, house, money, whatever it is. But the Bible says, when you die, think about it. Who will now own what you have? That's why the Bible says you are a fool. Because you don't live for eternity now. You live for the temporal world. And many people today, because of their perspective, they don't know the Bible, or they refuse to think about the reality that there is life after death. You know what they do? They don't think about it. Pretend they'll never die. Live for eternity now, not tomorrow. Eternity begins for you today. You know, I'm reminded of the story of the son of David. His name is Amnon. Amnon is a spoiled brat. The father never really disciplined him. He has this idea of entitlement. Everything I want it now. That's most young people. I want it now. No delayed gratification. It's all immediate. So he fell in love with his half-sister, Tamar. And this is what happened. Because he has no self-control, he does not think of the future, he told Tamar, let's have sex now. He wanted to force his half-sister to have sex. And this is the story. The sister told him, she answered, no, my brother, do not rape me, do not violate me. For such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Kakahiya ito. Don't do that. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? What will people say if you violate me? I'm a virgin. As for you, everybody read, you will be like one of the fools. You will be a fool. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, speak to the father, to our father. He will not withhold me from you. Our father will surely agree, but don't rape me. You know, this guy, Amnon, because he does not connect the future with the present, just like many people today, you know what he did? He raped her. As a result, the Bible tells us, 2 years later, out of vengeance, the other brother killed him. Amnon died. Amnon made a mess of the entire kingdom of David. It was a mess. Let me ask you a question. If you are Amnon and you know what will happen by raping your half-sister, you know you will eventually die. Will you do it? Of course not. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you do what you are doing now, thinking everything's okay? What's the topic today? Live for eternity now. Why? Because there is life after death. And choices today have consequences. 1 Corinthians 15, let's read verse 19, 22. We didn't finish this last week. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Continue reading. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So the Bible is simply saying, hey guys, because Jesus died and rose again, you too will rise again. There is life after death. You see, there are three options you can think about death. Number one, you can think of death as final. It's the end. Why do you think people commit suicide? Sincerely, in their mind, suicide is the end. Not knowing, suicide is just the beginning of the rest of your misery. Think about it. If you know suicide will not end your misery, will you commit suicide? See, what you think is important. Number two option. Death is simply, I just float in the air. You know that's floating. You watch too much movie. Or the third option, life after death. You really live again. A spiritual body. I'm not talking about reincarnation. Some people, they think of that reincarnation. Whatever is your opinion, that's your opinion. The Bible is simply saying, hey, there is life after death. Let's read the next verse. Each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, to show us there's life after death, after those who are Christ at his coming. So Christ is going to come again. He's now telling you the order of events. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. The Bible tells us eternity means there is life after death, and that Jesus will abolish all death. Notice, Jesus will abolish all rule, authority, and power, and including death. What do I mean? Are you ready to read the next verse? Well, if you don't mind, let's read verse 25, 26. Let's read. The Bible tells us he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Do you understand? The first thing I want you to know about eternity is what? There is life after death. The second thing you need to learn about eternity is Jesus will reign. That's what the Bible is saying. The last enemy to be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. When he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. I will make this very simple. The Bible tells us Jesus will eventually reign. He will abolish all of his enemies, not just death. All enemies, demons, people, any kingdom that is against him, he will establish his kingdom. The Bible does not stop there. Do you want to know what else? The Bible tells us, if you don't mind, look at Revelation that tells us what is the meaning of Jesus will reign. This is the meaning. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. You see, today, you don't see Christ reigning because God is very clear. Today, he's allowing Satan to have limited authority. He's allowing the people of this world to have limited authority. That's why you have suffering, you have pain. However, the Bible is very clear. Someday, he's going to come again. When he comes again, you know what's going to happen? Everybody read. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. I thought God is already in control. Yes. However, now he's allowing. Do you recall when Satan tempted Jesus? Satan said, you worship me and I will give you the kingdom. You don't have to go to the cross. You can become king without the cross. I will give you this kingdom because it has been handed over to me. You see, you need to understand what the Bible has to say about life on earth. Life on earth today is a testing ground for those who will follow Jesus and those who will not follow Jesus. To those who follow Jesus, it's going to impact your eternity. To those who don't follow Jesus, that's your prerogative, but there are consequences. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians what will happen. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. He says, the last enemy that will be abolished is death. By the way, how I wish the president of the USA or the Philippines can decree a law. Henceforth, by the law of the Congress of the Philippines, we abolish death. Will that be a great law? Except you can do that because the law of sin and death is operational. Only one person can abolish that. And you know who is that? Jesus. He'll abolish death. Hallelujah. Abolish death. Are you happy or not happy? Well, then you better clap if you're happy. He has put all things in subjection under his feet. When he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted when all things in subjection to him. You know what Jesus is saying? Let's continue reading. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all and in all. Let me explain this to you so you're not confused. This verse is saying Jesus will now rule everything in this universe, and then everything he will submit it to God the Father, and Jesus himself will submit himself to God the Father. This verse is not saying Jesus is inferior. This verse is simply saying there's going to be an organizational setup that God is the head and Jesus is the second in command. Not inferior, but equal. What do I mean equal? I prove to you. Look at the Gospel of John. Let's read this together. God the Father, God the Son, equal. Together, everybody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your question is this: who is the Word? Because it says, in the beginning, grammatically, before there was time, you have the Word. Who is the Word? And the Word, not this definite pronoun, the Word was with God. Huh? And the Word was God. Who is the Word? Let's find out. He was in the beginning with God. Huh? Who is this Word with God? All things came into being through him. Oh, he's the creator. Who else? What else? And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So nothing was made apart from him. So who is the Word? Remember, I teach you how to read the Bible. The way to read the Bible, you read the whole context. So in the same chapter, a few verses down, God tells you, who is the Word? Are you ready? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? Louder. Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Someday, when Jesus rules everything, because he's going to take over, physically, literally, visibly, he will hand over the kingdom to God the Father. My point is simply this. Because Jesus is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how should you live your life? Remember, what's the message today? Live for eternity now. What's point number one? You live for eternity now. Why? There is life after death. Be wise in your choices. Think of the consequences. Live for eternity now. You know why? Because Jesus is the King of Kings. Are you living your life to please him? Or are you living your life to please yourself, your friends? Many times you are frustrated because you see injustice. You see dishonest people getting richer and richer while you are trying to be honest and nothing seems to be going for your life. My advice is don't be jealous. Don't take things into your own hands. You leave it to God. Live for eternity now means you must believe that God is the ultimate judge, that God is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why do I say that? Because the Bible is very clear. The Bible tells us Jesus will come again to judge. Do you know that in the Bible? Let me share with you. This will make you relax. Some of you are so agitated. How come these people are so rich, they are so corrupt, and nothing's happening? I want to tell you something. Relax. Take your time. Because God will do something. Let's look at the Bible.
Let's look at Revelation. Everybody read together. Together. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. Notice, on Judgment Day, you cannot run away. Everybody was present. I saw the dead, the great and the small. Meaning, the powerful, the not powerful, the famous, not famous. They're all standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. In short, on Judgment Day, there will be two books. One book will be about the deeds of your life. Whatever you have done, God will judge you based on your deeds. God is fair. God is just. On that day, everybody will be given his day in court. You can defend yourself if you want to. The Bible is clear. And the Bible tells us, look at the next verse. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, everybody read, every one of them according to their deeds. My friend, if God were to judge me based on the book of my deeds, I stand guilty. But praise God, there is another book. What is the other book? Let's read. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The only way you will be spared from hell, from the lake of fire, is for your names to be transferred to the book of life. The Bible describes it as the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says if you are in Christ by grace, not by good works, by God's grace, you are transferred from the book of the deeds to the book of life. Now, what book do you like? You like to be in the book of the deeds, or you like to be in the book of life? But I'm going to tell you something. The world will deserve what they get because God is just. He will judge everybody. So people who are crooked now, who are committing all kinds of foolish things, and you think they're getting away, in Tagalog, may araw din sila. Say that with me. They will have their day. My friend, my day was settled on the cross when Jesus died for my sins. I don't pretend to be better than the others. I'm just as guilty as the others. However, God, in his mercy, allowed me to hear the gospel. And that's why you need to share the gospel. Amen? So, what is eternity? There is life after death. And Paul proves it by saying, let's read the next verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is saying, why are we in danger every hour? Why would I risk my life if there's no resurrection of the dead? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, Paul said, I die daily. The meaning is this, I deny myself daily. I say no to myself daily. I resist temptation daily. If from human motives I fought with wild animals at Ephesus, what does it profit me if the dead are not raised? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. You know what Paul is saying? If there is no life after death, why am I doing all of this? Are we clear? So what does it mean to live for eternity now? You are very sure in your heart there is life after death. And what you do now matter. Okay? Paul is saying, don't feel sorry for me. Paul is saying, I believe there is life after death. And Paul is saying, eternity means what? Jesus is the rewarder. Jesus is Lord. He will take care of me. And then he tells you, eternity means you and I have the greatest future. Your future is so glorious. Where do I find that? Let's find out. He has a, you know, Paul was going to describe the amazing future of God's people. You have no idea what kind of body you're going to have, all right? This is what he's going to discuss now, okay? Glorious future. Now, here's the prelude. Everybody read. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, have not entered the heart of man. Everybody, God has prepared for those who love him. Now, what has God prepared for those who love him? Can you describe to me? You cannot. You know why you cannot describe? Because the Bible is saying what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what have not entered the heart of man, beyond your wildest imagination. God has prepared for all of you. On what condition? For those who love him. So what has God prepared for you? Do you have any idea? Answer, no idea. But I'll give you some glimpses. Okay, are you ready? All right, he talks about the body. Some will say, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You fool! Now, Paul is telling these people, you guys, what are you thinking? That which you saw does not come to life until it dies. And that which you saw, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something. He's now giving the analogy of agriculture. A seed is planted. It will disintegrate. It will become like the dust. But then something will grow. He's saying that is like the resurrection. Your body will decay. But boom, something happens. Let's continue reading. God gives the body as he wish. To each of the seeds, a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. Continue. There are also heavenly bodies, earthly bodies. The glory of the heavenly is one. The glory of the earth is one. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For stars differs from star in glory. You know what Paul is saying? I want you to know, which is hard for you to understand, you will all have a supernatural body. Let's continue reading, all right? Together. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. You know what he's saying? Let's find out. Let's continue. This is the chart that I summarize in those verses. You are given a physical body, but there is an actual body, spiritual body. Notice, a literal, physical, spiritual body. Physical body is from the first Adam, perishable. Spiritual body, last Adam, imperishable. Physical body, dishonor, weakness, earthly, mortal. Spiritual body, raised in glory, power, heavenly. For you to understand this, very simple. How many of you wake up in the morning with back pain or pain in the knee like me? Huh? Have you reached that age where you wake up, medyo may sakit ng baywang? O ako lang yon? You know why? Our body is decaying. But one day, you'll be given a body. A body that is indescribable. Paul is trying to describe it. It is so indescribable. Let's continue reading. Beloved, okay, this is now a comment on our super body. I want to let you know what God has prepared for you. We are children of God. It does not yet appear what we will be like. We know when he appears, we will be like him because we shall see him as he is. The Bible says, someday when Jesus comes, you will be like him. You will see him as he is. What does it mean to be like him? What kind of body did Jesus have? a supernatural body. And the Bible says, if you really desire, you live for eternity, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself. Once you realize what God has in store for you, and you desire to receive the blessing of Jesus by grace, the Bible says, you will purify yourself. You will live a holy life. So ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you. I don't like death. I was in a funeral service. Our good friend's daughter died. And I realized usually it's the daughters, the children who bury the father. But in this case, my friend buried his daughter. But you know what? I want to comfort all of you. Death is never final. Death is a transition to something better, provided you are in Christ. That's what the Bible says. So, my friend, do you know what God has in mind for you? Something you can never imagine. That's why the Bible tells us, let's finish those nice promises. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Together. Now I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. We will all be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. The Bible tells us, in the twinkling of an eye, the Greek word has nothing faster than a second, a millisecond. So he uses the word, in the twinkling of an eye. Now you have to understand, when the Bible uses this kind of language, it is to communicate clearly. In the time of the Roman Empire, there is no walkie-talkie. How do they assemble the army? Very simple. The first trumpet. Bring down your tents. Be ready. Don't sleep in the tent anymore. That's the first trumpet. Second trumpet. Assemble. Fall in line. Get ready. The last trumpet. March. The same thing with the Hebrew trumpet. First trumpet, get out of your tent. That's what the Hebrew, if you read the book of Leviticus, tells you how the Jewish people is to travel. Next trumpet, there's a trumpet for assembly. There's a trumpet for marching. The same thing with God's people. When you hear the last trumpet, God is saying, come on, come on. March, time to go home. My friend, will you hear the last trumpet? And the Bible tells us all of us will be changed. Let's continue reading. For this perishable must put on imperishable, this mortal put on immortality, this perishable will have put on imperishable, this mortal put on immortality. Then will come about the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. No more death. Read the next verse. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible is saying? Death. Oh death, what have you got to do with God's people someday? Where is your sting? You have to know the connection. The sting of death is sin. Because of sin, that's why we are dying. We have to die. And where is the root cause of sin? Because of the law. We are not able to obey the Ten Commandments. What did Jesus do? He defeated the law. He defeated sin. And he defeated death. You know why? Jesus obeyed all the commandments. So, he solved it for you and for me. Jesus defeated sin. He did not commit any sin. He defeated death. He He died for you, and He rose again in our behalf. That's why, my friend, someday, no more death, no more pain, nothing. What's my proof? Let's continue reading. Look at Revelation. God will dwell among them. They shall be His people. Everybody read. God Himself, you know, God's presence. I long for God's presence. Those of you who don't long for God's presence, I'm going to tell you right now, you will not enjoy heaven. And in all probability, you will not go to heaven. Why will you go to heaven? Why do you want to go to heaven? You don't even enjoy His presence. You don't even look forward to worshiping God. You don't love God. So my friend, what makes you think you're a follower of Jesus? You don't want to be with Him. Unless you've been deceived. My friend, I look forward to that day when I will see Jesus face to face. I want to see Him who loved me, who died for me, who rose again in my behalf. I long to be with Jesus. You long to be with Jesus? Be honest. Your worship will never be the same. Your prayer life will never be the same. He will wipe away every tear. No more crying. You see, God knows. Here you cry, your sadness. I know. There will no longer be any death. No more funeral services. No more funeral parlors. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. That is what God has in store for us. You can't imagine that. A place, no sickness, no death, no crying, no mourning. The first things that pass away, behold, what? I make all things new. I look forward to that day, the glorious future. I long to see my mother. I long to see my brother-in-law. I long to see my loved ones who have passed away. There will be a great, great reunion for God's people. And the Bible says, we shall be forever and ever with the Lord. Live for eternity now. Tell your neighbor, live for eternity now. Make wise decision. There is life after death. Live for eternity now. You know why? Make sure Jesus is your Lord. He's going to reign. Do things to please Him. Live for eternity now. How? My friend, live with amazing hope. Don't get depressed. Don't be sad. Look at the last verse. You know what He tells you to do? God tells you. Everybody, as we close, read this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Everybody, knowing that your toil is not in vain. It is not in vain. It's going to be worth it. Say that with me. It's going to be worth it. Live for eternity now. It's going to be worth it. Say that again. It's going to be worth it. Praise God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I come before You. I surrender my life to You completely. I commit my whole life, my whole being to follow You, to live for You, to live in light of eternity. Change my heart, change my desire, and give me the power to live for You. Make my life meaningful, purposeful, Lord Jesus. I surrender to You my temptations. I surrender to You my struggles. Help me to live for eternity now. Help me to make good decisions. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.